Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Two Nowries podcast. I am your host, James Leonard, joined by my good friend, Timmy Long.
Hey, everyone.
Isn't that a lovely, soft introduction?
Mm-hmm.
Rowan is on the deck. Say hi, Rowan.
Hi, Rowan.
A big low trattle over in the corner then. This week we've got Catherine Harford, an English lady. She is the manager of Let's Grow Together, formerly Young Knocknaheeny. And you spoke today at a United Nations conference for the eradication of child poverty. Is that true?
I wouldn't say that I was at the United Nations conference, James. I suppose I was speaking at an event that marks the International Day, a UN day to mark the eradication of poverty, a worldwide initiative. And I suppose we were trying to mark it amongst our colleagues in the ABC programme and bring some focus on the eradication of child poverty in Ireland. Mm. So
your heart and soul is in helping children from tough backgrounds or going through difficulty. Would I be fair to say that?
I suppose so. I'm pretty committed
and
pretty passionate about it. And I suppose I've been working and crossing the bridge over to Knocknaheeny for the last 14 years. And, you know, it's such a fantastic area to work and a community. And it's a total privilege to actually be here every day. Mm. But you can see the challenges as well as the positives. And I just like to think that all children, no matter where they're from, no matter what their background, has the best opportunity they can to live their best life, to live their full life. Mm. And I suppose it sometimes, when you see that there is inequality from the point that children are born, that is the thing that I suppose motivates me and asks me, I suppose, to challenge some of that and do the best I can with my work to address that.
What kind of points did you touch on in your speech
today? Well, I was working, I gave a presentation with another, we work in part, as part of a national programme, which I can tell you about later, talking about some of the ways that we've understood child poverty in the area that we're working in. Mm. And I suppose child poverty is a big word to give small children, you know? Mm. So what we're really talking about is trying to understand children's lives, their everyday interactions, the places they go, the things that they see, and also asking children themselves about their lives. They're well able to tell you what they need. We've asked children what babies need to grow and to be happy, and they're able to tell you that themselves. So it's about including the voice of children in our work and trying to make sure that children and their parents are included in how we do our work. So we're just bringing attention to some of that today.
Yeah. Do you know your organisation, Let's Grow Together, it grew out of Young Knocknaheeny.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about Young Knocknaheeny, what it is, how it came about?
Yeah, so back in 2011, 2012, a while ago now.
Coming to the end of my addiction.
Yeah. I suppose there was a lot of people working in the area. You know yourself, there's some good people here
Yeah.
doing really good work across lots of different services and sectors, and we as a group of different practitioners working with the community are trying to do the best we can. But I suppose sometimes feeling you're part of the cycle, I suppose, and not seeing the impact of your work. And then at about that time, you know, the crash happened as well. So there was a real sort of challenge on services. So we started to kind of look together and see what could we do differently, what needed to be done to change some of the outcomes and to give children a better start, because we know at that point, you know, the younger and earlier in the life cycle you can support children, the better the outcomes in the long term. So we just started looking amongst ourselves what was already here, what we could build on, and we started to look elsewhere, what was happening around the country and internationally, and looking at, you know, everything from the evidence and the science to what actually was going on in practice elsewhere, and build a program.
We were looking around. Did you like have an idea and then you made a proposal to get funding? Like, how does one start?
That's what we did. Yeah, I suppose we were talking to each other to start with. So, you know, I was the manager of Niche at the time, a community organisation in Knockneheny as well. We were talking to the schools, the preschools, school completion programme, the health services, the family support services, you know, TUSLA and the HSE, and we kind of worked together, and we built relationships amongst ourselves, and we asked the community as well in lots of different ways and asked them to kind of join with us at different stages. So, and then we invited other speakers like you do, you know, you try to bring people in and to look at what they're doing and see what inspires you to do something like that as well. And it was about then talking to politicians, putting together plans, making applications, and being very ready for what did come eventually was the area-based childhood program. So we applied to be part of that, and that's what got accepted.
The reason I ask is because some people might not understand, like, how do you actually, if you have an idea for something, how do you actually go about doing it? You need to do your feasibility study, you need to do your qualitative and quantitative, get your stats and statistics, figures, speak with the stakeholders, the groups already in the area, you know, and then you come up with a proposal, and then you go for grants and funding applications, and, and that's how something happens. It's not like, I have an idea, I need money and to make it happen. There's a whole process behind all of that, you know.
Can you tell us a few areas that can really improve a child's development that you actually use above in
well,
the centre?
I suppose above anything else, children, I suppose, develop, thrive in the relationships with other people. So we need to think about their relationships. It's the relationships that where they feel a sense of love, security, safety, where they're responded to, where they feel the love and care and attention, and that it's consistent and positive, I suppose, and takes their lead. That children need opportunities to play, and they need space to be heard and to be listened to and responded to. So if you think about that, first of all, so the child isn't on their own, they're not developing on their own, you know, so they need their parents or their main caregivers to offer that first bit of support, you know. So in our programme, on top of what's already happening in the community and what's already happening in other services, we provide a little range of services from the pre-birth period, so from pregnancy, to provide opportunities for parents to think about their relationship with their baby and their young child, and for us to kind of strengthen and support that. And we do that in the home, so we come to people's homes, which is just amazing, because that's, you know, we've got to think about where children are at in their everyday lives. They're not in clinics, they're in their homes, they're in their community, and they're in preschools and schools. These are the kind of general places. So we need to be there supporting their relationships. The next thing we do is group work. So all the kind of typical parent and toddler groups that you would think about. This is the place where parents meet each other. They get support from each other. Babies interact with each other. You get a lot of kind of reinforcement from that as well. Mm. And they're the kind of things we do at that very early stage, you know, and supporting language development through play and interaction and kind of noticing the interactions between parents and babies or caregivers and babies and infants and building on what they're already doing. It's not for me to, or us to judge, do you know all the things I talked about, kind of attachment and all of that. We all do that differently.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, I've got to tell you, there's no such thing as a perfect parent, is there?
No, even as you, like, what was sticking out to me there is where you really, really could help is, you know, young mothers that have kids at young ages, 17, 18 or whatever. Do they come to you, or do you go to them, or does someone say, listen, this is a young mother, she's just after having a child, maybe we should give her a visit, or, you know, does it work like that, or?
Yeah, I suppose we're more community-based organisation. I think that's important as well. So within the, we're working across the northwest area of the city, roughly, so it's not just Knockmaheeny, and it's not just for families in crisis as well. Mm. I think that's really important for people to know. People can sign up to our programmes themselves. They don't have to be referred by another organisation. Mm. It's just like me, where I live on the south side, when I had my babies. I signed up to the local parent and toddler group. I got the lactation consultant in. You know, I bought all the books. These are the things that you kind of, there's an opportunity there. Do you know, when you're having children, and I just want to make sure that parents here have that opportunity as well, you know, and so we built all that because some of it wasn't all there before Young Knockmaheeny. So so we're just kind of making sure that these things are available all the time. They're really positive. Anyone can join, and it's not just the mothers either, you know, it's fathers are really important too. And that's
have much buy-in from the fathers.
Some, and we need more. So you two can give that a shout out locally. Yeah, I think it's fantastic. Really important, you know. Yeah.
Because coming from my own background, where I had no male figure in my life growing up, there was no father figure. There was times where I really would struggle, like, and I'd question myself, what does a father do here? Like, what does he do? You know, so. Like, if you have something like your organisation there to help fathers like that in those situations, you know, how to be a father, how to love a child, how to care for them, I think it's fantastic.
And it's not to judge that perhaps dads don't always know how to, or have the confidence to, or know what their role is. So we're all set up a bit like that, you know. There have been gendered roles, you know. And also, if there's difficulty in the relationship with mum or other people in the family, it does make it difficult. You know, but you know, I was talking earlier about children and their, what's important to them. Something I did speak about today, we asked children about what's important to them, you know. And one of the children drew this most beautiful picture of them and their dad. And, you know, and they were dreaming of babies. There was two babies inside the picture. And it was just, you know, so many children. You know, there is difficulty in relationships. But I think if you think about it from a child perspective, or a child's view, it doesn't. There are lots of people in children's lives, you know, and they're all important. And sometimes we focus on that primary, the first caregiver, but we've got to think about everybody else, even if they're in, if there's difficulties or there's, you know, separation or whatever, they're still important to children and we have to acknowledge that, you know.
And the child will also want to get love from the parent that's not giving them enough of love.
Yeah.
You know, they'll seek after more love from that parent. Say if the father's not around enough, they will seek more of love from him than they probably will the mother, who's there all the time.
Just doing all the hard work.
You know.
That's really interesting.
What about do you know when you started out, did it take time for the community to buy into it, or was the demand for the service and you just provided it and they came?
Do you know what, I remember when we got our first, when I say got, that's a terrible kind of way of saying it, but when the first parent that we had signed up with us and they were pregnant, I just remember it, you know, it's like, how are we going to let people know we're here and we're ready to go, kind of thing, you know? But more recently, we've, you know, through all sorts of different ways, Facebook and all the rest of it, parents are seeking us out. And I think that's the biggest credit of all. Nobody's told them to come to us, only their sister or their mum or whoever. And I think that is the rewarding bit. You know, we've got to the point now where people are coming themselves. And so that's really important. And also other services do tell people about us, you know.
But word of mouth is the strongest, because
it really is.
It's all about based on your reputation. Yeah. If you have a good reputation, word of mouth, you know, will travel. If you have a bad reputation, word of mouth will go around too, but and they won't come in the doors. But another thing I wanted to ask you as well was, if it's not just for families in crisis, so like, when I'm thinking now, like, we took in the baby, we fostered a baby for a few months, the hardest thing now ever. But it got me thinking, like, how do fucking people manage with babies? And like, you, like, I don't drink or take drugs, and you know, I'm kind of sensible out, and I found it very difficult. But babies arrive with no manual, no, you don't get trained or anything like that, and people are expected to just be able to manage, but it can be very difficult. So you don't have to have social workers involved in your life or addiction services or anything like that. You can be a regular person with a job and a husband and all these things, or a wife, and still need support with the baby.
Two things I suppose I really want to say about that is, do you know, people talk about it being the hardest job you'll ever do in your life, and there's something quite overwhelming about it. Do you know, I think you've
like,
you've,
if you're holding
that,
a baby, like, I just so fragile,
yeah,
you know?
Of course, yeah,
it's like, what do I do with this small person?
And they're not as fragile as you think either, do you know, they have amazing capacity. Like, you know, we spoke to Kevin Nugent that time, and you know, the other kind of brain scientists and psychologists, like, they really teach us the capacity of that little baby. It's just incredible. And I suppose, I think it's to remember that bit as well. But they don't come with a manual, you know. And also, we were children once too, so our experience of how we were parented comes into it as well. So for some people, it can be a bit kind of overwhelming, you know. And I think as well, it can be a bit stressful, and that's totally normal. But for some people, the stress is more present than for others. Perhaps they don't have the family support. You know, this whole area of the city is changing dramatically. Do you know, we work with people whose backgrounds are from all over the world, and others who have never left the area, you know, from the area. So that kind of diversity is really significant. So lots of people perhaps don't have the social networks. They might have housing issues. They might have income issues. We have to make, as programmes and as governments and politicians and all the rest of it and services, we need to make it as easy as possible for parents to just be parents with their babies. Otherwise, I suppose all of those bigger things kind of stack up against you, and I think we just have to make it as easy as possible and remove as many of those barriers as possible, because you don't want toxic stress. Like, stress is normal, do you know, we all have to learn to live with stress in one way or another. But when it's really stacked up against parents at one of the most vulnerable points in their life, when they're a new parent with a baby, you know, this is the point that we've got to make it as easy as possible, I think.
Should there not be some more education around these kind of things to teach parents, you know? And what's going through my head is I'm trying to think of how you'd be able to teach people, like, you're bringing a life into this world, you want to be able to give them the best life they can possibly have, but that starts the minute they're born, or even beforehand when they're actually inside in the womb, because if the female is going through any kind of stress in her life, it's known now that can actually affect the child, you know. And even when the child is born, if there's a lot of whatever in the family home, violence or screaming and shouting, these things as well can affect the child. You know, should we not be educating young mothers and everybody in total that by a child in these situations, having a child in these situations, it can really, really affect them in their adult life?
I think that's difficult, because I think we shouldn't really judge people. We shouldn't make it harder than it already is, you know? And the other thing to remember, I think, is really important. What I've learned from all of the experts is that concept, you know, that idea of, like, rupture and repair. Like, it's all right to make mistakes, you know? Mm. This is how children learn to cope with the world around them, to deal with the ups and downs of life. If they see you making mistakes, but you've come back and you've tried to work it out, or to come back to that relationship, they'll then be the adults that can do that themselves, and they do it from a safe place where it's safe to make mistakes. They can explore the world, they can take risks healthily, you know, they can go out there, they can cope with difficulties, because they've seen the mistakes, they've learned from others. Mm. And again, you know, it's not about perfection here at all. I think that's so important. And we just build on the strengths. There's strengths everywhere. Do you know? I don't think we need to load it on any more than it's already there. And I think that, yes, we can give information, and, you know, we've all been doing things in certain ways. You can open your eyes to a little bit more, and then you just make subtle changes. It's not about big changes. And I think that's what our program can do, is just offer maybe an insight into perhaps adding to what you're already doing, and make, you know, building on that. So,
And Timmy's point there, you know, if a baby or a child has had lots of adverse childhood experiences, like traumas, what Timmy was talking about, violence and all these other things, can the harm be reversed by engaging in a program like what you're working on?
Yeah, again, just thinking about the capacities, do you know, just thinking about the possibilities. Think, if you go back to the brain and the possibilities, I'm not the expert. You'll bring the experts in and talk about that.
Might get on to Kevin.
yeah, you should.
Come on, actually.
There's so many great people out there that can kind of reassure about that. And I think, I just think it's... There is always, you know, children are growing and developing, and there's pieces along the way that we need to do at all stages of their life. You know, I've focused on the earlier years, but actually, you know, children need support all the way along into early adulthood, I think. And
they can be quite resilient too. Like, so kids resilient. Like that have experienced, if there was, you know, domestic violence, and if the baby is there, they don't know what's going on, but they get the energy that mommy is hurt or daddy is hurt, and there's a lot. But if they can somehow fix that, the baby can still go on and thrive.
Of course, it's
not destroyed or anything like that.
And you see it every day. It is really important that we have the information about adverse childhood experiences. I think it is really important, and it has opened up people's eyes. And also the way that kind of comes into, I suppose, trauma and being trauma informed. But again, I think that, and we look at that quite an individual level, generally we take that information and we think, what can I do to reduce the trauma, or how can I address the adversity for the child?
Because one criticism of the ACEs theory is it's very much down to the individual and the family, not taking into account, you know, structural forces, societal forces, poverty and inequality.
And if you read any of the literature, you're the reader, James, if you read any of that, any of the stuff around ACEs or the neuroscience or the trauma, it talks about systems, societies and cultures. It talks about traumatized systems and having to address those. So for me, again, it goes back to the point that we're talking about at the beginning about child poverty. We need to address the systems and that's where the causes of the systems trauma, we need to address that. We need to work together. And I think this whole area where we're working, you know, we really try hard to work together across the different systems, you know, different services, the health services, the education services, ourselves, with the community, because it's at that level that things, you know, it's all the bits that come in around the children and the family. They're the things that really buffer all of the ACEs that you're talking
about. Takes a village.
It really does. Yeah. And if you don't have that village inside your house, I heard a lovely quote there recently. I think it was Lisa Cherry. She said, children need as many healthy relationships as they can get their hands on. So we talk about the one good adult, you know, and that's an important idea, but actually they need it everywhere they go, you know. So another big part of what we do is what we call capacity building, training and education and skills development for other service providers. So we do all that direct service work in the community with families, but we also do a lot of training and education, support, reflective practice, skills development with...
like childcare services.
Yeah, and schools and all the ones I've mentioned before, healthcare services, you know.
So Young Knocknaheeny became Let's Grow Together, and you had your launch a couple of months ago, and it was hosted by a couple of studs from around here.
That's why we had so many people tuned in.
Well, we had the honour of hosting the launch, where you had some great psychologists and professionals on, and the keynote speech from Taoiseach Micheál Martin.
Yeah.
That was a very proud moment for you.
It was a really proud moment for me. I suppose Young Knocknaheeny was a programme under another organisation, and Let's Grow Together turned that into an organisation of itself. And it widened the area, our reach of our work, which is amazing. And you know, we're a company now, so that brings a whole level of responsibility. But I suppose one thing I was very proud of was asking you two to host it. Do you know? Because it was in your first year of doing the podcast as well.
And it was one of the biggest things for me and James as well to be asked to do that, because we are from the area, we grew up in this area, and to be asked to do something like that for the young people of Knocknaheeny is a privilege.
Yeah, totally, and there's so much great work that goes on, plus I know you from, we're on a board of a charity together, so but I was familiar with the work, and so many families get help through it.
Yeah.
And so it was a real honour for us to host this, and it went well, and
it did. It did, it really did. And
it was tough,
you know,
during COVID, you know, online. Yeah. It would have been great to do it in person, but
But I suppose I was pleased to be able to ask you to for exactly the reasons that you said. There's no point in me doing all the talking, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's better that it comes from the community, and, you know, you have the lived experience, and you're from the area, and you know everybody.
Mm.
So, do you know, I think it's important that as a community organisation that we commit to doing things in that way, you know?
Yeah.
I think the name that you chose as well is perfect. Let's Grow Together. You know, it means an awful lot. And it's broader as well, you know, than the Young Knocknaheeny.
Yeah.
No, it can be branched into anywhere you want to go with it. Yeah. I think we spoke about that before.
And for me as well, it's a learning... I learn, and we're not perfect, and we make mistakes too.
Mm.
And I think, you know, it's called Let's Grow Together Infant and Childhood Partnerships. So it's just all of that bit around the child, and we're all learning and growing together. Do you know, the parents, the services, we're all in that space. Do you know?
Do you know what it reminds me of? That the name. Do you know, when we spoke with Gabo Mata, he spoke about trauma doesn't begin with any one person, but at the same time, so nobody is to blame. But at the same time, we all have to take responsibility for it. So let's all heal together.
Yeah.
So it's kind of in line with that. It's like, let's really not nice. Start pointing fingers. Let's all come together and, you know, support each other. And
yeah.
I think that's kind of the title of the organisation encompasses kind of what he said as well.
Yeah.
It's also my understanding that by changing, by really giving kids every opportunity and children every opportunity when they're young, and giving good development skills, that's how we're actually going to change our societies in the future.
Yeah.
You know, around crime, drug addiction, and all these other areas. That is my understanding, that if we help kids at the really young age and help them to develop well, where they can really start feeling the emotions and stuff like that when they get older, they may not need to be going on using alcohol or drugs or gambling or sex addiction or any of these other things, you know, and that's where my head is, you know, from my own experiences as well. You know, it wasn't until I started really sitting with my own emotions that I started to understand myself, you know, because I didn't have all these skills growing up. I didn't have, there wasn't a young Knocknaheeny there or a healthy adult there to help me, but I think your work is the game changer, if more people can see that.
And I suppose that what you've just described is the essence, and you've talked about it in your own way with your own experience, and that lines up with all of the evidence. Like, we know that, like, Let's Grow Together is a prevention and early intervention program, and we know you can intervene at any point, you know, but the later you leave it, the bigger the difficulties. And you know, I think you've talked in the past about being in prison and not having even language or words or being able to read or whatever. The cost of that to you individually and then to the society, you know, is, and we see that in our, we know that in prison populations there's so many people who have communication difficulties. Well, why don't we do something about that at childhood, you know, to support language development, communication development? Let's not wait till somebody is in prison where they're being identified with these difficulties at that point. And I suppose the other thing to say is Let's Grow Together as part of a national area-based childhood programme. That's where we're core funded, and it comes through TUSLA, the Child and Family Agency. And there is a real... We shouldn't take away from all of the other services along the kind of, you know, the primary services and the secondary, and they're all really important, but we really should have a broad base of prevention and early intervention approaches across the country, you know, and there's great work happening out there all over the place.
Do you wanna kind of, most of the people that listen to this podcast are actually in Dublin. Would you believe that?
Are they?
Only 10% of the people. Only 10% of the people that listen to the podcast are in Cork, and 42% are in Dublin. So hi everybody in Dublin. But would people listen to us all over Ireland and beyond? But I suppose within Ireland, can you identify some similar organisations around? I presume like you're part of like a national, you know, committee that comes together every quarter or something.
Yeah, we're part of this area-based childhood programme, which is also part of the wider TUSLA, what's called PPFS program, which is the Prevention Partnership and Family Support Program, and the area-based childhood program. You know, there's one in Tallaght. There's quite a few in Dublin actually, Ballymun, Finglas.
Is there one everywhere in every county?
No.
Should there be one in every county?
Of course, I'm going to say there should.
Is there one in the south side here?
No, but I suppose the approach that we take. You know, the kind of capacity building bit. So we do reach beyond our little area by working with others and all of that. But there does, I think we need to make some choices here about what we want and how we do it. And that's not to say that all prevention and early intervention happens through the ABC programme, because it doesn't. There's loads of great practice happening all around the country, do you know? But we do need to kind of bring it together a bit, you know, so it's seen as normal.
So it's not just the babies and families you bring into your centre. You train organisations all over city and county.
Yeah.
So they can deliver the service in their own locality.
Yeah.
So in essence, you're kind of out countywide. Yeah.
And the best thing about that is then you're leaving the skills and the knowledge with other people. You don't have to have any. You don't have to be there. Do you know?
Yeah.
So that's a really good long-term investment, really.
Yeah. Can we go back to Catherine, the individual?
Yeah.
How did you end up getting into this work? Obviously, you have an English accent. Do you want to tell us about where you're from, where you grew up, and how you got into the line of work?
I'm from a little town in the west of England, and my family, half of my family are Irish. And
the best half.
Oh, it has to be. Yeah. And, I suppose I've got a bit of a personal journey, I suppose, to tell you about, which resonates with some of the stuff you talk about. I left school pretty early. Do you know, I was 16, and over there we have the equivalent of, say, the junior cert, and I had very little. I came away with very little, and I went off to like a further education college.
Yeah.
But I couldn't settle into it, and I tried lots of different education things, and I didn't know how to concentrate. I didn't know what the purpose of it was. I actually didn't know what the word revision meant. I didn't understand these kind of concepts at all. And so I kind of drifted around a bit. But then I started working in, I suppose you call them very menial jobs, but I think they're the most worthwhile person building jobs ever. Do you know? Like I've worked in hotels, bars, restaurants. I've worked in factories. I've worked in nursing homes. I've worked in horse riding stables. Do you know what I mean? It's a little bit of everything and like that. And you just meet people from all around the world, from different places, and it starts to open your kind of mind a little bit, you know? And some of that, I came to Ireland when I was 21. So it's a long time. I've been here 25 years now, pretty much. And I was able to find a way back into education here, which was not available to me previously. And I had a really good experience here of being in education as a mature student and through the access programs and stuff like that. So I did a little access program in a little college, really basic now, but I finished it. And that was, for me, the start of kind of getting back into education. And then I went and did a degree in UL. And the reason I accepted that one was because they interviewed me. And I failed the entrance into another university that I won't name. And I was offered Cork, actually, but I took Limerick. And that was great. And then I started working in homeless services, way out of my depth, but thought it was something I was interested in. And also, you see the crisis end of things there, you know. But I knew I wanted to do something in the area. So I did a master's in community development in Galway. And it was brilliant for setting me up for work, I have to say. And from there, I got a job with the HSC, the Community Work Department in Cork, that put me in Knockmaheeny.
So you had a good old journey to it.
I was working, slogging it out for 10 years before I did anything else, do you know?
We did a live podcast at the weekend up in Liston Varna with Dr. Katrina O'Sullivan, but a very tough background now. But how she started out, she's a lecturer in Minota University. She did a bachelor's degree and a PhD in Trinity College Dublin, very posh. But she started out in the Access Programme, like yourself, a little introduction course. Got a little bit of a confidence, went for a degree, you know, and just built on it.
Yeah.
But it's just, myself and Timmy, we did PLC courses, 3s, 4s, 5s, and 6s, now Timmy did. But they set you up, don't they?
They do, and like, just one step at a time, one small little bit, and finish it. Find a way to finish it, and it will make you feel better, do you know? And I think the PLC course, that was definitely a PLC course that I didn't finish at one point because I remember all of that. Yeah. But they're really practical, they're accessible, and there's the people around that are really committed to it, you know?
Yeah. Do you know, you said a while ago you found it easier to get back into education in Ireland and England. What was the differences?
Honestly, it was just relationships, really. I think there's a human face to everything in Ireland, which you don't have in England. Yeah. And
just because it's so big.
I wouldn't have known who to turn to, who to ask. You're one of millions. I think here, you know, I met somebody, I think it was in the social welfare office or something. She just said to me, this is how you do it, this is how you go about it, and I'm going to put you in touch with such and such. And it was that kind of personal touch and approach. And I suppose I'm still here, aren't I? You know, 25 years later. It goes back to that saying,
like, every interaction is an intervention.
Yeah.
And you never know, like, when you pull somebody or you give them a bit of information or a bit of guidance, a bit of signposting, you never know what could come of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, that's all I took down.
But, like, we see it in Cork, don't we? And you talk about the audience in Dublin, but, like, the programme, there is supports out there for people, isn't there? Do you know? And the access programmes are really good, I think, here.
Yeah. We should be getting funded by them at the moment because we give them a lot of promotion on this podcast.
Well, there you go. Here's another one.
Yeah, I know. But they're great and they worked for me, Timmy and you.
Yeah.
Rowan went to private college, so we leave him off. Well,
I think you're right, though. It is very face-to-face. You know, you do get a lot of help. There's a lot of different people in different areas of education that will put you onto the next level or show you how to get onto the next level.
Yeah.
That was my experience. It was in St. John's.
Yeah.
I had a guidance counsellor that went through the whole Susie process with me for the third level stuff. You know, I couldn't fill out an application at the time, so I had to go into the Cork Alliance and Sheila filled out my application for me. And it was sent back about four times. They sent it back looking for new information because I would have been gone off the fair. I wasn't in society for a few years and I didn't want to tell them where I was because I thought it would affect my chances of getting to the college, you know. But in the end, I just had to tell them. Sheila, we just have to tell them. And when I told them that, then it was like, oh. You know, like it's just here, you know, and but it definitely is very important to have that face to face interaction in all forms of society for everything. You know, it's something that we, since COVID, we don't have it very much because of Zoom, and I hate Zoom meetings. I hate anything that's not like this.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4 people sitting in a room. It's just a different energy, it's a different communication, and I just love this kind of interaction.
And just bringing it back to our work as well, do you know, in homes with people, you know, just all normal everyday life, but I suppose all that form filling that goes on and things like these are systems and processes that we need to find easier ways. Like every time you go to one service, you shouldn't have to repeat your whole story or your whole, fill out another form and all of that. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of that going on. And we need to make these things as easy and as accessible as possible.
Yeah.
Do you know, it's very daunting, all of those things.
In the addiction homeless services, they have this case management kind of piece that kind of, like, if I'm working in homeless services and Timmy comes into me, we'll fill out this case management, this little booklet with Timmy's details on it. And then if he goes to your addiction service or homeless service, it follows him. So you don't have to ask him all the exact same stuff.
Thank goodness.
So something like that kind of integrated across all community.
We need that for children's services as well. Like there is things around GDPR and all of that, but GDPR shouldn't get in the way of good...
You're allowed to share good information. Good
interagency working and all of that.
If it's part of, like...
Of course.
If it's necessary. So people be afraid of GDPR.
They shouldn't be.
But they shouldn't be because, like, you can disclose some information if you have their consent. And it's in their interest and it's part of your key work and our case management piece.
Totally.
So I think something like that could really work in your field.
Yeah.
if we go back to the organisation, you're moving into a new building.
Oh yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about where that is? And
we're two buildings. So one of them is up in the meadows, you know, behind the water tower.
Yeah.
The iconic water tower.
The reservoir, which is our logo.
Yeah. And did you see the launch? One of the kids did a picture.
That's right, did it, yeah.
Of it, and yeah. it was just brilliant. But anyway, we're in there. So Tua Housing have been building in partnership with the council, an enormous estate actually. There's loads of houses up there, and there's one little community centre in there, and we're moving into there very shortly. And so we're really looking forward to kind of delivering a lot of our programmes face to face in there. So we'll have our parent and toddler groups and our drop-ins for our babies, and all of that will happen in there. So it'd be kind of a bit of a open door.
That's your own, but that's your building then.
Well, we're to own it.
Yeah. And we're you won't be like it. Just lodging anywhere else anymore. You have your own place.
And
that's great.
We've been a lodger for a long time. Yeah. Do you know, we don't really have our own premises. And the other place we're moving into is, you know, Dr. George's old surgery.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thanks so much, you know, to the council that they own that building, and we're going to be moving in there soon as well. So that'll be our little hub.
Yeah.
Do you know?
That's great. The empire expands, Catherine.
Oh, I don't know about that. but, you know, I suppose it's just working with others, really, to kind of... And I just want the best, really, for the area. You know, you can see... Like, I have been working here for a long time. You do see how great it is, you know, and you do want the best for the area, and we want the best for the kids and families, you know.
Yeah.
So if there's anything I can do to make that a little bit better with the team, and, you know, I've got to give a bit of a shout out to them. They're just super people, you know. And there's some people working for us from the area, and we have, experts in their own kind of skills and things like that. And they're really up for it, you know, and it's all working through relationships, you know, and building trust and trying to respond to need, really. So that's it, really.
Onwards and upwards now. If there's anything Timmy can ever do for you, just give us a shout.
Yeah. You get the dads knocking on our doors.
That'd be great. And if people want to contact you, how do they do that? Is there a phone number?
They'll be able to drop into the meadows soon, but the best thing to do is... People send us messages, private messages on Facebook. So go to the Let's Grow Together Facebook page or the Instagram page. I mean, we have the website, and it's got the team's phone numbers and all of that.
Okay.
But, you know, send us a text.
Yeah,
I'm
just going to bring you back there to one thing because I think it's very, very important, because I'm thinking of my own background, not having a father and going through, I have two young kids and, at times, not knowing how to be a father, not knowing what to do, not knowing how to behave, not knowing how to love them because of my own experiences with love. I think there's definitely men out there that are watching or listening to this, and they're probably saying, geez, I feel the same way about my own kids. Where would they get some form of help or some indication of how they can really, really have a good relationship with their child, how they can really love their child and be there for their child and be a part of their lives?
Yeah.
Would you be able to give them that information above?
Oh, yeah, we would. Like, they can get in touch. Anyone can get in touch with us. Grannies as well, you know. They're a big one as well in our community, you know. But fathers must feel, even if they're separated from their children, that they have a contribution to make and a value. You know, they really do. And children love them, you know, and children are forgiving and they're adaptive and they're resilient, you know. So we have lots of different opportunities where we can, I suppose, give some ideas and supports about how anyone, dads, mums, grannies, whoever, can support children, do you know?
Yeah.
It's just about, and they don't need stuff. I think this is something, even in play, children don't need stuff, toys, all the rest of it. Of course, that's nice, but they need you. They just want you. They want interaction with you.
Yeah.
And if you just break it down to that, and listen to them and respond to their, to what they're saying and their cue, you know, we call it cues.
Yeah.
So what are they trying to tell us, you know, and break it down to that. You know, again, I'm not the expert. I've just seen what I've learned and from the program and from my own experiences. You're talking about very similar experiences. And I just think we need to break it down and make it very simple, do you know, and reassure people. It's not the stuff that kids don't have. It's what you can give them, and it really is your relationship with them. Do you know?
If you haven't got a lot of resources, all you need is to be a responsive parent.
And be responsive
to the child and be there for the child.
Yeah.
Eye contact and play, and they don't want
totally
to do the stuff.
And play. When we talk about play again, it's interacting.
Yeah.
Do you know, it's communication. You know, we do this thing, and we're going off track here again now, but, you know, we have the book giving scheme at the moment. So every child who registers with us. Dolly Parton's Imagination Library.
Yeah.
Do you know, bringing a book in, letting a baby eat a book, letting them see what they want to make out of the book. You know, you don't have to be reading the words, just use the pictures. Just bring something simple into it. It doesn't have to be big, grandiose gestures or anything like that. Just keep it simple and register with us and the books will come and you can just play with your kiddies.
And we link your website and all your links to your social medias in the description of the video and the podcast. So thanks for coming on the podcast, Catherine.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
And best of luck with the new premises and everything going forward.
Thanks, and to yourselves as well. Thank you.
See you later, lads.
Thank you. Thanks, lads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.